Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
I'm really excited about today. 2 years ago, 2 years ago when we first launched, I think I shared this last week, but it was about quarter two of our service. We had people here who helped serving, and everyone was like an all-time high excited. Like, can you believe we're doing this? Nita came up to me, and she's like, can you believe this is happening? And she started crying, so I started crying. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. But then about 15 minutes too, I had this feeling of, what if no one shows up? Right? You ever thrown a party? And it's like 5 minutes to, and usually the friends that come way too early didn't come way too early, right? And you're like, it's there it is. It's done. Let's shut it down. It was a good run, right? It was a good ride. And the amazing thing is that most people showed up about 10 minutes late, right? And we have kept that streak going. Way to go, people, right? All right? I love it. I love it. And people showed up. And the next week, I really thought, I'm like, this is the, now that everyone knows, the curtain's been exposed, right? Like, no one's going to ever come back. They came just to go, ha, 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 this will never work. And you showed up again. And you showed up again and again and again. So thank you for not just showing up. Thank you for adding value to our community. That's a word that I love to talk when people talk about about our community. I talk about, you know, it's good and beautiful. And part of our dream is that everywhere we go, we can add value through a smile, through remembering a person's name, through high fives, through crying with one another, through laughing. Even that, like, jokes that aren't that funny, you still laugh because we want to add value. All those things. So I really appreciate it. Today is going to be a little bit different. We're going to take some time and celebrate what's happened in the past year and some of the past 2 years. And then I'm going to share with some of you some of our big dreams that we have for the next coming year. The first thing I want to do is just give you some information. I asked Nita and Al and some other people just to give me some numbers so you can just get a context of what's happened. This is from November 2016 to November to this past weekend. The first one is this. We've had 14,795 people in these chairs alone, just right here, right? That's a lot. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, Chris, the whole town of Cloquet and Carlton and Esco did not show up. It's true, right? But like individual people each week, that's how many people. When I saw that number, that was shocking. That's a lot of people that have come to experience. So this one I love is that we've had 131 Gordy's cards as thank you cards to first-time visitors. So that's to 131 families. Like a family is, if you're single, you're a family. If you have 17 kids, you're one family. And those are the people that only took time to fill out the cards. Like, think about that. If you're here and it's your first time, I see some new faces. I say this often because I believe it. Getting to church can be an obstacle. It can be hard, especially if you are new. Because you walk into a church, even when I visit church, there's still some times I'm like, what do I wear? Right? What's it going to smell like? When is it stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight? Is that kind of church, right? Or, all right, do you like shake hands or does everyone hug? All right, do they kiss? It talks about kissing in the Bible. Is that what you're supposed to do? And you, based on your church experience, that can be complicated. And if you have no church experience, it can even be more complicated. Are they going to judge me? What if I see that person? They know my real story. They saw me last night. We were together last night and we walk in. We have to pretend like we know each other. Do we avoid each other? Like you have all these complicated things, and that 131 people came, think of just by showing up and experiencing something good. It can change the trajectory of not just your life, but the people in your circle. It can change the trajectory of, like, if you have kids and their lives. So 131 gift cards to Gordy's, because it is heaven on earth. Also, we had 47 people decide to follow Jesus. From November. Overall, we've had over 115 people in the last 2 years. That's 115 people that if we, not just Nikki and I, it's us. If we didn't like decide to show up and make coffee, if we didn't design those signs that we lump out, and everyone who carries those signs are like, God, thank you for these signs. I love these signs, right? Every time we have to go out and pound that sign in the frozen tundra with a hammer. I know Joe today was like, just like, God, this is awesome, right? If we didn't take time to invest money and time and energy in setting up Vineyard Kids to make it look like not just safe but amazing, That's 47 people that, who knows? But they found a place. They found one word we're going to use a lot is home. And out of those 47 people, like, and out of all that 14,000 people, we've had 20 baptisms just in this past year. And my kid being one of them. And I'm thankful that, I am blessed, not just as a pastor, but as a friend, as a husband, and as a father, and also as a son, that I get to go to church with my parents and my in-laws. And that's a positive thing. That my... Yeah, I was sincere. I'm being sincere about that. She's already pointing at me. But I get to be a part of a community where I don't just have to play a pastor. I can be Chris. And part of that, my son gets to be welcomed and loved just like every other kid. And he got to stand in front of his family and his friends and say, I belong to Jesus. What a beautiful thing. We've had 147 pounds of coffee since January, all right? That's a lot of coffee, guys. Then we've had 1,600 grade schoolers and 1,900 early childhood kids. And that, again, that's like, you could have my kid, we'd be counted every weekend, but that is still a ton of bodies. And so I'd like to take a moment and just highlight some celebrations. And the first one is Vineyard Kids. If you've never had a chance to go up there and take a look at it, it's great. And the thing I want to celebrate is that Vineyard Kids is 100% staffed by volunteers. Sarah Winter has been leading our Vineyard Kids for the last like 2.5, almost 3 years, because she started ordering all our stuff and having vision for it way before we launched. And we've talked like, hey, Sarah, can we like throw some money at you? Can we pay you for all the time? And she said, no. She goes, I want to create a culture where everyone has the equal buy-in. And so for 2 years, Sarah, she gets down here every once in a while, but she gets there early and she's the last one to leave, of creating a place, creating an environment. Because like our dream of Vineyard Kids is that we just don't want to like babysit. Sometimes it can feel like, hey, let's just get the kids out of the way so we can do real church. And they are absolutely doing real church, of rolling on the floor laughing with those kids, crushing crackers with them, like Cookie Monster. John Yevjeski does that a lot, right? of singing silly songs with them, of holding babies and making them feel welcome. I walked in once, and there was these beautiful, beautiful little girls, and they were having a hard time transitioning. So Sarah just took them and another leader and sat at a table and just played with Play-Doh with them until they felt safe, and then they went into their classroom. Of fourth and fifth graders finding out what does it look like to hear God's voice and pray for one another. Like the thing that they use throughout all of Vineyard Kids is that I'm a forever friend of Jesus. And think about these kids of when the earliest days of when they can comprehend language and they can speak, that they have this deep secret in their heart that says, I'm a forever friend of Jesus. He's my forever friend. Because there will come a time where they don't feel like they belong, right? It's gonna happen. There's going to come a time where they feel like my parents don't love me, my friends don't like me, I don't fit in, I have goofy hair, my body's changing, like all those things. Like from the very first day, if they came, they're going to hear that you have a friend forever, that you have value and you matter. Our kids are learning that. So thank you to everybody who has led Vineyard Kids. Thank you to Sarah and to Dietrich. Thank you to the teachers and the volunteers. And right now there's like 8 teenagers up there, like bouncing little babies on their knees, and they love it. So I'd like to share just a story. I asked some of our people to send some stories, and here's what she said. Chris, I've been stewing on this, and I think I came to the conclusion that I've experienced this story every time I have been here. So I'm going to generalize this a little more for the coming from my heart. Things I love every Sunday without fail. Number one, the volunteer in our children's ministries. I always think to myself how hard it is for young families just to get out of the door on a Sunday, who more than likely need their cup filled up from the previous week or maybe a week to come, but they, the volunteers, sacrifice that completely just to love on, invest, and care for my kids, who I secretly am just waiting for that hour where I can sit alone and listen to God's word. It's amazing the way they serve me. She said, then the lobby. I love to step back and watch people. Dads connecting with dads, little ones begging for just a little cup of coffee, just this one time, I promise never again. New babies arriving and people oogling over them, random hugs, quote unquote, my favorite, and even the comforted tears that always come out when you see faces that care. The last one, after church, the pure smiling and joy of the young ones who come down to see their other little friends and run around in the lobby, the smile of those faces can brighten anyone's day. I think it is basically the pure, perfect craziness of our lobby before everyone's heads out for the week like it's their home. And I just love that. When before we launched, we had this party at the Cloquet Country Club because we're big and important people. And again, we didn't know who was going to show up, and all of a sudden, everyone came at once, and Nikki and I were talking with some other people, and we saw kids just running everywhere. Everywhere there was kids, like, bumping into you and running around. Everyone's just like, this is normal, this is life. And Nikki stopped, and she goes, this is exactly what I wanted. A place where kids can be kids. They can run around. So thank you. From the father heart, thank you for investing and loving on these kids. Another thing I'd like to celebrate is that we made an incredible hire by Kaylee Mary. And right now, she can't hear me because she's up there yelling at kids right now. But Kaylee Mary, we hired to be our student ministries pastor. And she's only been on staff for 2 or 3 months. And already she has created this, continued the culture that Nita and the Weavers and Valdez set up even a little while ago. But there is a spot right now for junior hires to be awkward, right? Every week, they can be awkward. The junior high boys can be awkward and talk about what smells, right? Because that's what they do, all right? And they can act like they're not really interested in the girls. And the girls can act openly, wonder, why do you talk about smelling so much, right? And in that awkwardness, in that discovery, they feel at home. They feel like they matter. Every Wednesday night, we have a group of 20 to 25 senior hires that show up like on purpose, right? It's true. Think about when you were a teenager, right? When I was a youth pastor for those that decade of my life, I was amazed that kids would show up. I'm like, you could do so many more things, right? You could be like run around chasing that girl. You could be at Taco Bell pretending to really like that food. You could be, you know, doing all these things. And you show up at a church. But they loved it. And these senior hires, like we had a couple of those pictures of on the missions trip, their lives were changed. Some of these kids, like their family's not involved at all about Cloquet Vineyard, but they want to come because they're noticed. Think about when you were a teenager, and maybe some of you had other adults that were significant in your life. For a lot of teenagers, they don't have significant other adults in their circle. They might even have their parents in their circle. And Kaylee's dream is that there can be an adult for every single kid that they'll ask them, hey, how was that math test? You told me you were really nervous about it. Hey, how are your parents doing? I heard it's going really hard right now. How'd that go, that date? Did the girl say yes? Having just one other person that's just a text away of where you can say, I'm not doing well, or I want to celebrate something with you. And every week, I know that team of leaders are praying for those kids. That adds significant value to the life trajectory of that student. And they are showing up. I just asked Kaylee, how many kids total have come, like individual kids? And she's like, probably around 60. I'm like, 60? That's awesome. So to Kaylee, if you see Kaylee, give her a high five or a firm handshake and look in the eye and say her name, whatever makes you happy. The other thing I want to celebrate is there's friendships. I've seen in the last 2 years, people who are complete strangers now are sharing life that are in that same circle, taking weekend getaways, sharing birthdays, having meals. People, I love what she said, how dads can meet other dads and how you can cry when you find a face that cares for you. There's people in that lobby, there's in small groups, and you're serving, making coffee together. You're the early morning group of guys lumping things up and down. There's community, there's things that are happening that are making friends. So thank you for walking across the room saying, hey, I don't remember your name, right? Did anyone else have to do that? Or am I all alone in that? Yeah, sometimes there's this pressure like, no, I have to be perfect, I have to remember names. But when you can get over that hurdle and say, I don't remember your name, you're being vulnerable and you're entering into that space of saying, I want to have more value in my life. So thank you to small group leaders who every week open up your home and make coffee and everyone drinks and spill on your couch, right? Thank you for people welcoming and greeting. The number one thing I hear of people walking in and saying, hey, what did you experience at the Vineyard? You know what they say? Without fail, the number one thing they say is not my jokes. That has never been number one, all right? Never number one. Number one was everyone was so nice to me. Everyone was so nice to me. The greeters, the walk-in, the people making coffee, people in the hallway, they would talk to me. And the word that they used that you saw up on the screen was, I feel like I'm at home. I just feel like I'm at home. There was a teenager that came, and my wife invited him to come serve and help move gear. And he's 15, 16 years old, and he told his mom. His mom shared me, so sorry, kid, that your mom shared with me about it, right? He told his mom, he goes, Mom, I feel like I'm at home. A 16-year-old kid, student, just through carrying speakers that another adult would say, hey, will you be with me? Come with me. Like, made a significant impact of saying, this is my home now. Like, that's what our community is all about. That's my dream, is that we're not just, hey, let's just come and play church. Let's just come and get a job done. It's, I want to come, and I want to experience real life. Life-giving conversations are on every table in Carlton County. And speaking of that, that we've been able to add value just to Carlton County, through Krista Barber has been leading our food pantry. I don't know if Krista's here, but Krista, through your leadership and your organization, you have added value to hundreds and hundreds of families who are in a practical need, that we get to be Jesus through handing canned goods, through handing fresh produce. The school has told me over and over again, I pop and I see Ruth, and Ruth will say, Chris, we love your church. And the thing that's funny is, like, she goes, you guys are so good at communication. And I hear often about me saying, you are so bad at communication, all right? So I always, like, take it as a verbal slap on the back. But they love working with us, and we love working with them. If you have not met Keith, I was going to invite Keith to come up on stage, but I think Keith would rather stand in front of a train than have to come up on stage. Keith is the custodian here, and he's here every morning, I imagine, at 6 a.m., getting everything ready, making sure the building's hot and warm and ready for us. So if you see Keith, give him a handshake. Keith has often told me of how great this community is. And lastly, I'd like to celebrate that this thing we call a good and beautiful God and a good and beautiful life is not just some cheesy slogan, because it really could be. I'm going to read you two stories. I was all done with church and church people when I went to check out the new church in town, LOL. That's laughing out loud. Now when I miss church, I really miss it. I hope you never stop being real. It has absolutely changed my life going to the Vineyard, and I'm so grateful God put you there. And this person's story, I know their story. They've had a hard story. And the fact that she continues to show up again and again to receive something good and beautiful. I could tell you, she is good and beautiful. Absolutely good and beautiful by saying yes to Jesus. The next story. My life became a chaotic mess, and I ignored the many signs that, in hindsight, I clearly knew were from God. I drank away my sorrows and everything else in my life that was good, and trying to avoid the pain and the reality of what life had brought me, and truly wanted nothing more than to stop feeling. I had reservations about attending Cloquet Vineyard simply because I was still angry with him, and as much as I appreciated some of the congregation at my previous church home, the experience had become stale and stereotypical, driven by the old-timers. I expected nothing more when I walked in the doors at the Vineyard. It was my daughter that asked me to attend with her when she was home from college, and I simply went to appease her. I like that. When we walked out the door that first day, she looked at me and said, "So?" And I smiled and said, "I guess I found a new church home, huh?" Overall, I'm thankful for and appreciate the blend of real life and passion that is incorporated in each week. And these are just two stories. And I've heard so many stories sitting around a table hearing, what do you love about Cloquet Vineyard? And this whole idea of a good and beautiful God is becoming a reality for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. So before I go into our big dreams, and there's so many more stories. Before I go into our big dream, I want to go back to the very first message that I shared when we were at The Rock Church. It was like 6 months or a couple months before we launched. We had an interest meeting. It's the very first message I gave. It's the message I gave at our birthday bash last year. It's really short. But I want to go over why we do what we do and how we do what we do. Why we do what we do is simply this, that we have a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us. And the fact that you are a hot mess means you're in the perfect company, right? And you're a hot mess. Your real life is not a threat to that good and beautiful life. But it's at that table, when we are vulnerable and real, that we can experience a good and beautiful life. But how do we do it? This is incredibly important because for some different spiritual communities, it can feel like, hey, how we do things is to come and don't screw up, right? Or come and be perfect, Or why don't you come and make sure you have everything figured out so you don't disrupt our rhythm and how we do things. Or come and I want you just to play the game along with us. And that's just not how we do things around here. And where we get this model, and I love this model, it's so true to the core of who Nikki and I and our relationship with Jesus, and it plays out in how we can be an authentic community of people just trying to live a good and beautiful life. And it comes out of John 1, and you've probably heard me say this a lot, but I never want this to move away from the core of how we do what we do. There's a story in John 1. People heard about Jesus, heard about this Messiah, and how at that time in the temple is a place where heaven overlapped with the natural, where heaven came down to earth, just in this one certain part. And the Messiah was going to come and usher into this whole new way of doing life, where heaven would break open and be available everywhere you'd go. And they heard this story for generations, generations, and generations, the songs, the stories, the dreams, the pain, the agony. And finally, they heard these rumors about this guy named Jesus. And there's these two dudes, probably heard the vibe, what's going on, those stories, and they see Jesus, and they elbow each other, you talk to him, I'm not going to talk to him, you talk to him. And they actually follow him, and they kind of creep on him, right? They're coming around, looking at him, Jesus will probably look at them, they go, oh, yeah, not him. Hey, Jerry, how are you, all right? So, they walk up to Jesus, and if you read it, imagine this vulnerable, intimate, sacred conversation. They don't know this guy. And the question they can ask the divine, of all the questions you could ask, they say, hey, Jesus, where do you live? Imagine walking up to someone who was this big, important person, this person that you thought could transform like the world and spirituality and heaven itself. What would you ask? You'd probably ask a lot. Like, how are you going to do it? Can I get in? How do I get on the winning team? How do I get all the power? What they ask is, Jesus, where do you live? It's like if you look into that question, it's like they're trying to figure out, are you the real deal? I've put my hope in too many things. Our people have put our hope in way too many who we thought were the Messiah. Are you going to break my heart? Are you going to break my heart? Because I'm hungry for some freedom. I'm hungry for some life. I'm hungry for significance. I'm hungry to have my life have some sort of value and meaning. There has to be something more than this. And that little question, it brings this whole world of significance. And how does Jesus answer? He could answer of saying, do you know who I am? He could answer, I'm God and you're not. He could answer, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to the really important people because I want to have power and influence, and there's not a spot at the table for just a bunch of losers. Sorry, you're not the beautiful people. He could answer in many different ways, but how he responds, he says, come and see. That we have a come and see God. That when you take that vulnerability, wherever you're at in your spirituality, when you take that risk and you say, God, are you really who you say you are? I was just reading one in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus is walking by this guy and he's sick and he walks by and he says, Lord, if you are willing, will you heal me? It's this desperation. If I have nowhere else to go, if you are willing, please. Every time you enter into that way with God, because that's the only way. The only way is to come into a vulnerable moment and say, hey, I need some help. Or maybe you say, hey, thanks. Or maybe you pray and say, wow, this is amazing. The only way in is out of, are you who you say you are? And Jesus says, come and see for yourself. And this, how you see God matters. And so many people that I've encountered in my lives have this idea of, I can only come to Jesus when I have it all figured out. Because that, to have a come and see God means I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I actually have way more doubts than I have answers. I have way more anger. I have way more brokenness and baggage than I'd have like fist pumps. And Jesus doesn't shame them. He says, come and see, and leads them to his house, and they spend the day together. When you come to God, what you're going to get is not shame. It's not pain. It's not you should have tried harder. You're a loser. What you're going to get is come and see for yourself. Taste and see the goodness of God, as the psalmist writes. But here's the thing. That's how we start. We start by loving God. that we want to soak in deep draughts of God. Just like Psalm 23, that we have no needs, we can lay down in a peaceful grass and he's going to like just shower us with beauty and grace and hope and love. We can see it and experience for ourselves. And for all of you, that also means we can run at different paces. We don't all have to have group think. We don't have to have this mob mentality that we all are growing at the same time. We're all running this race and we're all side by side moving as one group. Like, you believe all the same stuff? You have no questions either? That, right? But don't you feel that pressure sometimes? If you're here and you're married, don't you feel like that sometimes you have to do that? Or as a group of friends? Or as a small group? Or as a family? My kids better be the same place they have about all my deep theological questions. Especially as a church. If you stood up and said, I disagree. You hear it, you might stand up and say, like, I think white privilege is alive and well. And you might say, well, I don't really see it. I disagree. There's room for everybody. We don't have to be all on the same political, like, swing. We don't have to be on the same, all the exact same theological exact points. We can be a group of misfits because that's who the church is. It's who the church is. And where does it start? What keeps the church together? Come and see for yourself. Come and see God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. It's all driven about a God welcoming people to himself. And he gets to be the king and he gets to be good and he gets to give me what I need. And it is always the invitation. But it doesn't end there. After they have this moment with Jesus, they're going around and they're just in their normal life. They're just in normal rhythms. They didn't go to some like evangelism training boot camp and they went around and said, okay, here's all you do. Step 1, 2, and 3, right? Like turn or burn. They don't do any of that, right? You know what they do? They go into their normal rhythms and they share their story. That's all they do. They walk up to this other guy and they said, hey, you have to see, there's this guy, Jesus, and he's from Nazareth. And his response is like, nothing good can come from Nazareth, which is like a racially loaded joke, right? Like it's in the Bible. And he goes, no, you have to what? Come and see for yourself. See how it works. We start with, I'm going to come and experience this good and beautiful God. I'm going to hear the song. I'm going to hear him, let him speak in my own language, in my own pain, in my own joy. And out of that, I share life at tables with my friends. And I just simply say, here's what's good. Here's what's painful. Here's what's beautiful. Here's where I'm thriving. Here's where I'm struggling. And it's just sharing life. That's the kind of community we are. We don't have to be a group of people on Sunday and then be someone totally different on Monday. Like I shared earlier, I don't feel this pressure if I have to play a pastor. I get to just be Chris, who happens to be a pastor. Who happens to live in Esco, who happens to have 3 amazing kids and a smoking hot wife. I just happen to be that guy. And if that's who I really am, I'm Chris, man of God, who happens to be all those things. I can walk through my neighborhood. I can walk into Eskimo Pies. I can walk into Quick Trip. I can walk into Super One. I can walk into the Jack. I can walk in to the high school gyms. And I get to share my story. You know what my story is? My story is there's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for people. And when people ask me, is that a joke? Is that true? You know what I tell them? Come and see. If you show up, I think it's going to be great. And if you don't, I'm still going to love you. And we're still going to hang. I'm going to continue to sing this kingdom song. That's how we do what we do, friends. Come and see God for ourselves, and then we share our stories, which leads into my big dreams. My big dreams for the next year until November 2018, and this will be short, I promise. The first is this, that the first 2 years, we've been trying to figure out who we are. What's our rhythm? What's our story? Like, we're going to try these things. Does that work for us? No, let's not do that. Are we going to use, like, are these our values? Are these, like, our priorities? How does this work? Do we have the right people in place? And we feel like after 2 years, we feel like we have our rhythm. Like, this is kind of how we're going to do what we do. We're going to have a come and see God. Good and beautiful God. Life-giving conversations around every table in Carlton County. Like, this is just what we're going to do. But now we feel like we're at the time of where we want to continue to expand. We still want to grow, but we also want to get a lot deeper. I feel like God is inviting us. My theme, we have a theme for each year in our preaching. The first, this past year was love. In 2018, it's going to be purpose. Everything we're going to be talking about is what is purpose? How do we live a life on purpose? What is God's purpose for life? All about purpose, which fits in perfectly. We feel like this year, as we deepen, is how can we do life on purpose? Like, how can you thrive as a couple on purpose? How can you thrive financially on purpose? How do you hear God's voice and do what he's doing on purpose without being super weird, right? I'm a big fan of that. I love teaching people. Here's how you can, like, pray for people and they return your text messages, right? That should be the name of the class. I think that might be actually the name of the class, right? So the way that we're doing that is several ways. The first one is this, that you've heard us talk about the hub. The hub is not just some place that we have to have an office for people. The hub, we named the hub because we want it to be like this vibe, this party, this energy on Cloquet Street, on Main Street, of where people can come and connect and they can grow and do it on purpose. They can grow in their friendships, that there can be parents there who have play dates with their kids, where their kids can do life on purpose. So like it's this place, you should come check it out, 612 Cloquet Avenue. We always have coffee on, you can come. We have this real hip with it and cool vibe because we had a hip with it in person tell me what to do with all the decorations, right? It's wonderful. And so one of the things that we're going to do in the hub is I'm gonna be leading these really short burst small groups called Cornerstones. Every other month, we're going to take a different cornerstone about who we are as Jesus-looking people, of how do we actually pray to the divine. What does prayer actually look like? Can it be something deeper than just praying on the dinner table, which I'm a big fan of? Maybe you can't sit for 3 hours and be silent in prayer, but what does it look like to connect with God in 2 minutes? How do you actually like pray for people? And then we're going to get together every week for 3 weeks. We're going to get together and we're going to talk and we're going to go out and try it and come back and celebrate or cry, depending on your experience, right? We're going to go through who are we? Who are you as a woman? Who are you as a man? You're so much more than the horrible things you've done. It's something we call the Enneagram, where it's this old like mystic thing of how you can find out who you are. Like I am the need to succeed, which is I'm a big fan of, right? So we're gonna walk through that. We're gonna walk through the kingdom ministries of how do you give prophetic words? How do you pray for people for healing? And again, doing it in a natural way around a table. My prayer is that there's so many senior hires that show up there on a Sunday, or not a Sunday, but on a Wednesday night, that we have to get like smaller chairs. Honestly, my dream is that this is my heart. There is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids in Carleton County who are dying for someone to notice them. Why not us? Why not us? Kids are hurting and they need someone to give them a positive physical touch to remember their name and tell them you belong here. And once kids find out where the party is at, because the party is something so much more than getting wasted or just playing video games. We don't do that at the Ruts, by the way. I should say that, right? We don't drink alcohol at youth group. Write that down. But the party and the vibe is that I belong, that they have a home. Kaylee was just telling me that one of her favorite things is when a kid walks in and multiple kids, not just her, multiple kids will say, hey, Con, where a couple weeks before, all strangers. They're known. And then lastly, at the hub, my dream. Oh, also, my wife and some other worship leaders are going to be leading these worship circles where you can just show up and you can pray, or not pray, you can worship. Where we're going to have small groups there. We're going to keep doing things of just having this place where people belong. And last, we want to be a blessing to the businesses on Main Street. We're going to throw a big, grand opening party. We're going to invite all the businesses up and down Cloquet Avenue because we want to be a life-giving resource and friend and champion of those businesses. All right. My other last dreams is that we're going to love Carleton County, and while we're at it, the whole world as well. We feel that we're ready as a church to begin investing in international ministry as well. I'm going down in February or March to go down to Argentina. And the Vineyard does something called partnerships, where 2 to 10 different churches will pool together all the resources of their money and your leadership and your community, and you pick one area or one country, and you invest everything in that community to, not for us to go plant a church there, but to encourage, champion, and train and develop the local leaders in their local churches so that they can go and multiply and plant local churches. We're going to continue to go to Puerto Rico, of no better time than right now, of going where we can do hard things, right? You might not feel like, I can go and pray and preach to 100 people, but you can go and shovel some dirt. You can sit with kids and play with them. You can give a meal or some water. We're going to be doing that this year. We have the students. We're looking for some people to lead our adult trip. We want to plant 3 churches in the next 5 years, like right around here, because the local church is a local hope. In a local church, you can change the story of a family. Like Moose Lake is one place we're looking at. Because maybe you're here from Moose Lake, if there was a place where even just 20 people get together and encourage each other. And then lastly, yes, this is my favorite one. We're going to do it all over again. That's my big dream. We're going to walk across the room. We're going to have awkward conversations. We're going to stumble and forget names. We're going to laugh. We're going to encourage. We're going to pray. We're going to fight for one another. We're going to stand up for one another. We're going to disagree with one another. We're going to get to know our neighbors' names. We're going to invite people. We're going to be turned down. They're going to come. We're going to celebrate in fist pumps. We're going to keep doing it over and over and over. So those are my dreams. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this community. So if you don't mind, we're going to stand. And I'm going to pray. John 1:39, come, he replied, and you will see. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And in this 2 years, there's so much more that has been going on in all of our lives than just Cloquet Vineyard. There's been crisis, tragedies, babies born, babies lost, marriages thriving and marriages breaking. There's been laughter and there's been tears, moments of fullness and moments of being hungry. So as we are happy and we celebrate, but we never want to mask over the reality of our lives. So wherever we're at, just even me as Chris, God, I want to come and see again. That I trust and I know you are who you say you are, that you say in John 10, that you've come to give me life and life to the fullest. Let me experience that again. I pray for my friends here and my friends on the podcast. Will you come even now and let us see and taste the goodness of the kingdom of God? And we welcome you and we receive you. Will you use the resources, the talents, the dreams, the gifts, the homes, the intellect, the voices, the blogs, the encouragement, and the tables all throughout Carlton County, help us be able to introduce people, share life, share our story, that there's a good and beautiful God for them. Use us, Father. We love you. Amen. So here's my invitation. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come up. We take time every week to pray for one another because that's what we do. Sometimes the whole idea of the come and see God moment, sometimes, at least for me, I need someone to share life with me. So there's two things I felt like God was highlighting. And this could be you, it might not be you. The first one is this, the whole idea of the come and see moment, like having deep life with Jesus, you're there. You need someone to pray with you and talk about, I want to have that deep life with Jesus. Maybe you have life with Jesus or maybe you don't. The people here would love to help you be able to come and experience a good God. And the last one is this, as I talk about dreams and there were some of you, and I'm not going to point you out, but I just got like individual people that they're, and I pray about this a lot because I really believe this is something that God's doing in our community. There's people here, you have deep, deep dreams and you feel stuck by it. You don't know how to let that, I always get a picture and I use it often, but of like there's this song in your heart and you don't know how to sing it. There's a song in your heart, you have no idea how to sing it. Please come up and let someone here pray. And say, I have a deep dream. It feels scary or it feels obstructed. I don't feel like I count. I don't feel like I matter. Whatever it is, please come up and let us pray for you. If there's anything else you'd like prayer for, Love the chance to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this community. And we'll see you next Sunday.
Come up here, Chris. And the Cloquet staff would like to come up here too. And this is an awesome time that we just want to serve, or not serve, but we want to love on these Sodders and their vision for this community and who you are. So come on up.
Hi.
Hi.
No, I didn't. This is a surprise.
So my name is Nita. I am the executive assistant for Cloquet Vineyard.
I am Janine. I'm the weekend coordinator.
And I'm Kaylee. I'm the youth pastor here.
And we just want to take the time to just celebrate the fact that if these two did not say yes to the vision that Jesus put on their heart for Carleton County, we would not be the community that we are. And so we are so thankful for the two of you for stepping into what you have done and for leading us so well. Okay, I'm a crybaby, sorry. So anyway, we all want to just celebrate the fact that we are here doing life together. And this is so, so cool. This is so cool. And so anyway, we want to take the time to pray for them, not only for what we have done over the last 2 years as a community, but where God is going to be leading us in the next who knows where. And so if you guys will join us, and we're going to lay hands on our leaders. And if you'll stand up, put your hand out, do whatever, and we are going to pray over them. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being here. And Jesus, just come right now. We are so grateful for their leadership, for them saying yes, for showing us that we can do hard things, for creating an environment and saying and pointing to you, Jesus, about how good and how beautiful you really are. Thank you for what you're doing in Carleton County. I pray that you just continue to give them wisdom and discernment for what is next. Just pour out, God.
Yeah, Jesus, we know that we are here because you just continue to show up for us. And you've given us leaders and a community that continues to show up and just respond to you and to your invitation. So Jesus, would you just continue to come and to meet these leaders and meet our community here? Would you just help us to keep celebrating and saying yes over and over for the years to come? We love you so much, Jesus, and we're so thankful. In your name we pray. Amen.